The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Daikin, Goodman, and Amana brands. Today, we're joined with Dan Clapper, and he is the Director of Market HVAC for Interplay Learning. Dan, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for inviting.
So, Dan, how in the world did you get into this industry?
That's a funny story. So, my dad had his own HVAC company in upstate New York. So, probably 8 years old, he made me go down in the basement, and I was cleaning fittings with a wire brush, you know, sorting out the mess in his truck he made. You know, probably as a teenager, I started joining him on job sites. We'd crawling around basements, attics, new installs, ductwork, the whole deal.
Okay.
So I'd have to say it's my father's fault.
So, Dan, today we're going to be talking a little bit about business metrics and training success. And, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of HVAC contractors struggle with is, what are the metrics that I'm looking to track when it comes to training? And how in the world do I actually track those?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a great conversation. So being at Interplay Learning, I get to speak with all size companies from the huge, you know, PE roll-ups to the two or three tech companies. And most of the time, training just gets looked at as an expense line, right? You know, here's something that we're just going to do. And if we're in a pinch, we're just going to cut it. And the best companies I see actually tie their business metrics to training. And if you start thinking about all the business metrics there are from, you know, conversion rates, sales conversion rates, to callback rates, to time on the job, to, I mean, there's so many business metrics. I bet you there's training. You could put a training piece to all of that, right? So one of the things I love to do is first, you know, help the company get clear on where they are right now with their metrics, and then where they want to be, and then how training can help them get there.
Yeah, one of the things we talk to a lot of contractors about, you know, it's not that you have that massive improvement, but if you could just improve everything by, you know, the power of one, you all of a sudden have this exponential growth within the organization. To your point, if I could just improve my closing percentage by closing one more job a week, if I could just increase my dollar average by just a little bit, if I could reduce my callback ratio by just this much, if I could increase my efficiency, my production capacity by just this little bit. You know, all of those things add up to a big return on the bottom line as you start to look at those things.
Yeah, and that's, again, a lot of times training gets up to the financial person, and you have to have that story to get funding for your training, right? Mm-hmm. And what we've found with the best companies that have the best training culture, they keep adding more and more to that training budget because it's almost unlimited return. The ROI is bigger than the cost of the training.
Absolutely. So the other thing I've talked to a lot of different experts in this industry about is, at times it feels like there's almost this self-esteem crisis within the HVAC industry.
Sure.
And so when you talk about training, how does that impact the overall confidence of an installer or a technician that may be out in the field?
Yeah. So one of the things, I mean, what is the way most people have learned in our industry? Even with my own father, I would go with him to the job site. He would be doing some sort of task, you know, maybe using a multimeter or something. And I kept asking him why or how. And he would start getting annoyed, right? So a lot of times these technicians, they actually don't know the why or the how because they, you know, they were taught on the job, maybe by someone that wasn't a true learning and development professional. Mm-hmm. So what we've seen is if there's ways for people to train, and even at Interplay we use, you know, on-demand training, mm-hmm. where people can train on topics that they're not going to come out and tell you they don't know, but they can start building their confidence. They'll go, they'll take training 9, 10 o'clock at night just to start getting ahead. So the next day they go out to that job site, they're more confident in front of the customer.
And I get that and understand. So we talked about the importance of training, but then there's this other aspect, right? There's this aspect of the eye roll when the owner says, okay, we've got a training class coming up and I need you guys to go and participate. And oh no, it's another training class. You know, I'm not interested. And it's another task that we have to do. Or, you know, even with a lot of the on-demand training that is available out there, whether it be video or it be simulation-based or, you know, other platforms that people can log into, it almost becomes this, this drudgery that people have where they're saying, another class that I got to go do. I got to check another box that I've got there. So how do you take skill assessments and make it so that people actually are excited about training versus, having training as another task that I need to get done?
Such a great question. So first of all, I was a regional sales manager for Daikin for a while and some other manufacturers, and we would go around and we would do these classes. And, you know, there would be someone who's brand new to the field, and maybe if I'm talking VRV, like the content's way over their head. Or sometimes the content is too easy for some people too, right? So, and then you think about the HR courses that we all have to take, you know, the safety courses and different things. Like training gets a bad rep when it's mandated.
Mm-hmm.
So the philosophy that I love is more of an assessment to where the training actually matches where they are in their career and where their skill sets are at. So there's different ways to do it. We have some online assessments in Interplay Learning. I also like people to do self-assessments. You know, some of the best contractors actually take the time to go talk to each individual tech. Like, hey, what would you like to learn? Not like you said, where we go out there and just say, this is the class that the distributor's holding this week. This is what you have to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would you like to learn? And then build out like a individualized training program for them.
Almost like putting together a career path where it's saying, hey, here's what are your goals and aspirations? Where do you want to be? And then saying, okay, let's put a roadmap together so we can figure out how to get exactly to where you want to go. I also think about training. You know, you talked about some of those required trainings that, for OSHA or for whatever reason that we're doing them, you know, that is. But there's another thing that's given training a bad rap over the years, too. And you get a lot of sales calls that are disguised as a training class, right?
So true, yeah.
And I think technicians, for the most part, are tired of having somebody come out and say, hey, we're going to do this great training class, and it ends up being a features and benefits class and why you should sell my product.
It's so true.
And so, you know, you talk a lot about, and this has been a hot topic in our industry for years, about how training can really help with the recruitment and the retention of employees. So how do you see training being a tool or a resource to really help with that recruitment and retention?
Sure. So let's talk recruitment first, right? So, I mean, if you haven't noticed, there's a skill shortage, right? Mm. A lot of people are retiring. My father just retired January 1st. You know, a lot of the baby boomers and people that have been in the industry forever are retiring. And there's just not enough people coming in through the trade schools.
Mm.
So one of the things to really help with recruitment is to start having the culture where you hire people just with a good attitude and you train them up on their skill. So having a really strong onboarding program that can just teach people the basics, teach them the refrigeration cycle, teach them how to perform seasonal maintenance and try to get them profitable within the first 3 to 6 months. And now you've built this culture where people, maybe they didn't have a chance to go to college, or they immigrated to the country, or they just never had that career path.
Mm.
You've just opened your potential talent pool huge if you can hire by attitude and train for skill.
So how does training help with the retention piece of it?
Sure. So what's interesting is, you know, most of the smaller HVAC companies, they have like two titles, like a HVAC service tech, HVAC install tech, right? So some of the larger companies, they've learned to do tech level one, tech level two, tech level three. And each of those have different roles and responsibilities. And it actually creates some career pathing. So through training, you can actually tell that new tech, like, look, we can get you from a tech one to a tech two to a tech three, but you have to go through this training path and then prove your skills in the field. But now you have a way. And it's not just jumping jobs to be an HVAC tech at a bunch of different companies. I actually feel like I can grow within the company.
You know, training, we talked about all the reasons why training is important, but there's never a good time to do training, right? Either you're too busy and we've got too many calls to run, and so now is not a good time to do training, or the opposite of it, hey, it's really slow out right now and we don't have the money for training. And so how do you do that balance? You know, and let's first talk about when you're too busy, what do you do in order to make sure that you're continually training and you're making it a habit, something that people do every single month?
Yeah. So I'm really passionate about this topic too, right? So when contractors are so busy, what happens? That's actually when they make the most mistakes, right? I'm trying to get through this. I have four calls today. I'm going to start cutting corners. Maybe I'm starting to lose my best practices. So in my mind, when you're busy is actually one of the best times to train. Now, do I want you to do a whole 8-hour class in the middle of the summer? It's not going to happen. I get it. But 5 to 10 minutes in the morning, a short little video of something you need to brush on, it keeps your mind sharp and your skill set sharp, makes people, it prevents them from cutting corners. So I love setting up just short micro learning in the busy seasons, you know? When it comes to not busy seasons, I think that's when you jam in the longer sessions, you get more, you know, contextual knowledge, deeper knowledge. You know, that's when you go to the whole day classes where you tear down a unit and put it back together. I think that's the best time to do that type of stuff. And if your finances aren't there to cover that, let's get back to talking about the metrics and say it's even worse if you don't cover that.
As the age-old adage, right? You can train the people and they might leave, or you can not train the people and they might stay.
Yeah. I have something on that too, right? What's one of the most important things to contractors? It's their Google reviews, right? Are there, you know, Yelp, whatever it is, these 5-star reviews. And it's if you're telling me that you think training is not as much of a priority and you have techs that they're not at the top of their skill level, those people are out there representing your brand in the marketplace. So wouldn't you rather them be on the best of their game, the top of their game? You will actually, they'll be more confident in front of the customer and they'll get those 5-star reviews.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for coming in and for meeting with us. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
And we look to have you back here soon.
Great.